Clanksby Hill. We had a very long, made Norwegian-style sledging.
No, not that.
We battled down, we hit what doesn't we?
Go and find her.
Where are you going, Master? For a drink.
Okay, you guys want anything else?
Three bus beers and some ginger and lime, please.
Six shots of giggle water.
Pete Earl Grey hot.
This snake juice is basically rat poison. I've
spent my whole life right here in Lackawanna County.
The drink, I like it.
I know, it's great, right?
Another!
You made it very clear you wanted spoiler free. You were insistent on that, and then you forget.
This episode's going to be a minute and a half, and it's just him reading the last two pages of the book and then stopping him.
Anytime I try to add structure, you guys buck it. You're like, no. Duck quack you, Alex, here. Have some middle fingers. Cody uses his one allocated fuck you for that, and he's like, suck it, Alex. No structure. But then Alex says, okay, fine, no structure. And you're like, where's the structure? We don't know what to do. Oh, no.
Alex is breaking the rules again.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Whose Podcast Is It Anyway?
Where the points are made up and the rules apparently don't matter until they do.
Much like law.
Is it another podcast where we broke William very quickly?
It was the pristine, the immaculate, immediate callback to we talked about this.
Yeah.
I broke William, and it's
me saying we should do a book club. Everyone, give me your book recommendations. We should record this.
Now, let's put it off for 8 whole years and then frame Alex for murder.
Okay, fine. We'll do it now. We won't wait until the inevitable heat death of the sun. Oh, Alex does something a little weird, and now we've just got to throw it all
on
him.
It's not the real Alex.
It's a doppelganger.
His
beard is not that good.
Is that the guy who ran the Hunger Games over there? Look at that dashing gentleman. Wow. He should be on a cowboy soap opera where he tries to murder his family. He's the same actor from Yellowstone, in case you didn't get that reference.
I did not know then.
Wow, look at that beard.
I only see one Hunger Games movie, and I haven't seen Yellowstone.
Both hit too close to home. You can't do it.
Well, ironically, we're actually on the topic of books. Hunger Games books tonight is...
It's book tonight. Club. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Finally, we're getting to my pick for book club.
He says that as if he isn't the one that's put it off. What? It was like... Yes, it was. He was like, it's just been so long. I don't know if I have it in me to talk about
it. I put it off 1 week.
Heck, my book club was before we were consistent. Like,
this is right. Like BBC Sherlock, the way we're pumping out these book clubs.
Well, if you are joining us for the first time, I'm William.
I'm Dallas.
I'm Cody.
And I am Alex.
And tonight we are going to be discussing a book that I read. No, I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. I read the book, but I read it first time 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
Wow,
2016 was 7 years.
Has it really
ago.
Been that long?
Yeah. I read it 7 years ago and said, "Hey, we should do a book club about it." And 7 years later, here we are. We're finally doing the episode. But tonight we're going to be discussing Dark Matter by Blake Crouch.
As this is your pick, William, would you mind giving us a spoiler-free synopsis of Dark Matter?
Sure.
Which is easier said than done, I will say, because there's a lot of spoilers ahead.
Yeah, this is almost like trying to give a synopsis for Project Hail Mary whenever we did that, because
can you
the
imagine
amount that
we'd
you're...
have to do this episode twice?
The amount...
chances are we'd have to do it an infinite number of times if we're honest.
Easy. Spoiler free. The synopsis. I'm going to pull it straight from the book. Are you happy with your life? Those are the last words that Jason Dessen hears before the masked abductor knocks him unconscious. Before he awakens to find himself strapped to a gurney surrounded by strangers in hazmat suits. Before a man Jason's never met smiles down at him and says, "Welcome back, my friend." In this world that he has woken up to, Jason's life is not the one that he knows. His wife is not his wife. His son was never born. And Jason is not an ordinary college physics professor, but a celebrated genius who has achieved something remarkable. Something impossible. Is it the world or the others that's the dream? And even if the home he remembers is real, how can Jason possibly make it back to the family that he loves? The answer lies in a journey more wondrous and horrifying than anything he could have imagined, one that will force him to confront the darkest parts of himself, even as he battles a terrifying, seemingly unbeatable foe.
So I know for a fact when I bought this book, and it stuck with me. We were all in town for Cody's surprise birthday and we're walking around your local bookshop/coffee shop.
Was that when you bought it?
Theater. Yes, because you recommended it to me and I put it in my Amazon cart and I bought it. And then at that exact same time, I stumbled across Project Hail Mary.
I'm sorry. Let's rewind that back.
Not how I thought this story was going to go.
Yeah. But they did not have it in stock there. I did purchase both Billy Summers by Stephen King and Project Hail Mary there.
Okay.
They did not have Dark Matter. Please, okay, I am one for supporting.
I hate supporting small businesses.
I was Allie standing
and I spent an
at the register
amount of money on our local bookstore recently, and they looked at us like, "Oh, God bless you!" Like we had like 7 books apiece. It was a beautiful moment.
Like I was standing at the register and I was holding the phone at arm's length so they could see me ordering this book off of Amazon.
So you want $17 for the paperback? Interesting. Amazon wants $16, and they kill the environment a little bit for me if I get it by tomorrow, and I won't even be home tomorrow.
Oh, they kill the environment even if they send it at a normal time. I know they do.
This is taking too long. Cut down more trees.
I want Jeff Bezos to come here and spit in your face directly.
Well, I say this knowing full well what will probably happen, but just general thoughts on the book around the horn here. Try to keep it as spoiler free as we can.
So just going off of our number grade out of 10.
Yes.
And short thoughts, and then we'll get into the spoiler talk. Yeah. Got it.
All right, so at Amazon, there's rules against having headphones on the warehouse floor. However, you see a lot of people during the winter months wear toboggans and beanies while at the station at times when you're just like, oh, wow, the heat is like 75 degrees right now and you're wearing toboggans. Knowing
every girl that works in Amazon has their hair down and surprisingly it's in front of their ears.
And I'm not going to confirm nor deny that I may have participated in such activities.
Cody, when did you get long, gorgeous red locks?
He's been growing it out for a while.
But that's when I listened to Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. It's a 9-hour audiobook, and I finished it in one day.
Oh, wow.
And that normally doesn't happen for me when it comes to audiobooks of that length. I usually have to do them in chunks and listen to something else in the process to get through longer books.
But Papa Bezos blessed you with a 12-hour shift. Imagine if that hadn't happened.
It was the entire day for 10 hours. And I, now granted, I was at 1.25 speed because apparently that's a thing I do now. But
he doesn't even listen to our podcast at normal speed. He's like, nah, I got to get these idiots along faster. Come on, go, 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 go. 2.5, 3X.
I make it's great. It's great because my podcast app clips out the awkward silences, which makes our episodes go from like, 1 hour
Alex does that, it does it even more,
which brings our podcast down to 4 minutes.
Co-host,
which brings it to 4 minutes.
Well, the joke's on you because it doesn't clip out the awkward noises. So there's the other half.
Squaw.
Squaw. Dallas, I am going to take your. Hey, editor, edit here. Squaw. I'm going to have that waveform put on a t-shirt. And only, I will keep it close to my heart, literally and figuratively. And what was your thoughts?
Well, listening to it in one day, I was reading the Wikipedia page to refresh my memory of the book to okay, because it has been a few months since I
did my waiting 12 years of it.
It had been a few months since I went through it, and it was shortly after Project Hail Mary, so I was kind of on a roll with these books, and they were very nice companion pieces together.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I would not say it's as good as Project Hail Mary, but it's very, very, very close. In terms of just, I can't stop. Like, I will have a decreased quality of life today because I am too distracted. I need to finish this book. I need to finish this book. So, but it was great. Edge of your seat. And I was reading on the Wikipedia page. It was almost like this book was tailor made for a movie. The way he wrote it, it's like he had film adaptation in mind with it, which, by the way, there is an Apple TV Plus series coming of Dark Matter.
Yes, with some big names. I've told you all this in the group chat. I'm glad to see everyone pays attention.
I forgot.
You tell us lots of things.
Like, I remember the conversation around Project Hail Mary being made into a movie.
And we have an actual series coming for... Wow. Cool. Dark Matter, mm-hmm. with Blake Crouch's like express involvement. It's wonderful.
Good.
Wow.
Good.
All right. What's your numerical score?
I believe I gave Project Hail Mary like a 9.9, like almost perfect. It was like an almost perfect book. I'm going to give this a solid 9 out of 10.
Okay.
Just okay. Solid 9 out of 10. Like, honestly, I could have dealt with like 200 more pages. It was a breezy book. It was fast. It was fast paced. I could have easily consumed 200 more pages.
So I'm glad you said that, Cody. Is it okay if I go next?
Go
I don't
for
wanna,
it.
Okay.
Yeah, go for
I
it.
I came to the same conclusion as Cody. I think it needs another 200 pages. And I mean that because the concept of the story is great. I mean, it's about this regular Joe with above average intelligence who's living a normal life, and he's got the classic what ifs, right? And then I don't even think it's a full chapter in, maybe it's a chapter and a half in, the inciting incident happens, and we are sent on just a breakneck speed of events. I think that Blake Crouch potentially pulled his punch. Like, he was like, I've got this great concept, but I don't know if I can flesh it out as far as I want it. So I'm just going to hit the meat of it and go. I've read a few Stephen King books where it's like, he's meandering in this non-specific area, but it helps build out the characters and it fleshes out the world and it makes you care more deeply about these characters. I think that if Blake Crouch had taken another 150 to 200 pages and continued to build out the world, both pre-incident and post-incident, I think he would have been better for it.
I'm interested to dig into that a little further in the spoiler section because I don't know where it would happen. So anyways,
I can give plenty of. Yeah.
Okay.
I had lots of thoughts because I have read some of Blake Crouch's other works that I'll bring up later where he does it a little differently. And I've walked away and went, that's what I wanted. Yes. So it's not on Blake Crouch in the sense of like, he's a hackneyed writer and can't do any, you know, like, no, it's not like that. This is a great concept. It's a great quick read. The problem is it was so quick. It was a flash in the pan and I just walked away and it doesn't have the same lasting feeling that some of Blake Crouch's own other works have. So I would give it a 7.5.
Okay.
It was good. I finished it. I enjoyed it. It left me wanting more in the sense that I wasn't satisfied because I didn't get enough.
Yeah.
No, the portion that you got was good. You just wish there was more of it.
Yeah. No, that's the way I am, too. So
that's really what brought it down. I think it would be a 9 in my estimation if there was another 150 pages.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll give it 7.8. That's my... I feel like maybe 7.5 is a little harsh. 7.8.
What about you, Dallas?
You bought me this for my birthday. Was it my 30th birthday?
I did, yes.
I think it was my 30th birthday.
Yeah.
And so I'd read it a while ago. So depending on when you listen to this, who knows how old I'll be at that point. So it was
a while ago. You look great for 49, Dallas. I'll just say.
Thanks.
You are just a lovely 84.
I have the heart of an 84-year-old, so the liver of a 4-year-old, the heart of an 84-year-old, so.
And the mind of a 12-year-old.
Your body.
Yeah, that's forever young. So I...
A 12-year-old in 1996.
True. Which, this book reminded me of, like, 90s thriller movies.
Yeah.
In the way that it was paced and... I think the way that he described things, which is my jam, I loved it. And so I was there for that. But yeah, I felt like it was a little short, but also I don't know if maybe that was the intent. Like, I don't know if he was afraid of kind of wearing out his welcome or
that's what I think.
Deep dive too much.
That's what I think.
You know, like if you explain the science too much, then you're going to start making holes because, you know, that's kind of a hard task. But yeah, I think it was short for as much as I enjoyed it. 10 for me is impossible. So I give it a solid 8, I think. If it was longer, it would have probably been top shelf. Because I just wanted more of it. It was a cool story. I liked that world that he built.
Yeah, I
agree. And I liked... Are we spoiling it? We're not.
Not yet. No.
We'll
okay.
get there.
Never mind. I got you.
General thoughts, I'll number score.
Yeah.
Cool.
Lovely book.
I will just say this, William, and I'm saying this just to make you happy. I benchmark all, like, any reading experience based on the Harry Potter benchmark of I can't put this down. I can't stop. There's been few books in my adult life that have caused that. Elicited that. Two of them were Project Hail Mary and Dark Matter, and I could not put them down.
Yeah,
because I remember because few books have ever transcended to that Harry Potter level of like, this is like a formative experience in my life reading this book right now, and those two books got there, which is very nice in my adult life to actually get there doing it.
All right, William, it was your pick.
It was my pick, and this one, I picked it before I revisited the book, and then I revisited the book, and my stage of life had changed between my two readings, and I would have given it a 9 when I first read it, but it went up to a 9.5 on a second read.
Wow.
For me, yeah. Just general thoughts, it sits in this precarious place where it is both infinitely vast in its scope, but it's also incredibly human and intimate at the same time.
I agree.
And I feel like it balances that very, very well. So I will leave it at that. It got a better score on my second reread in order to prep to prepare for this. And so it sits at a 9.5 for me. But I really want to get to the spoiler. So let's take it.
So that takes our average to an 8.6 between the four of us, which is a respectable, healthy score.
Oh, yeah.
And again, like, there is the only fault that I think I've heard so far is there wasn't enough. And that's, depending on who read it, that's either, give me more, Blake Crouch, or it's, hey, Blake Crouch, give me more, which again is still, that's an 8.6 right there. That's awesome. So
let's go to break. I'll go get some drinks. And then whenever we come back, we will jump into the spoiler section.
Yes. Drink time. Drink time.
I'm gonna go as fast as I can so I don't miss anything.
Excuse me, may I go to the bathroom first?
I gotta go to work.
We'll return after these messages.
Oh shoot, did I miss the halftime show? Gosh dang it, who'd they have?
What are you doing in here? During here, I pay for that privilege.
I'm feeling much better now.
Yeah, I'm having an heart attack. Get back to work.
Here he comes. Here he comes, Mr. Drink Carrying Man. What do you got for the rest of us?
This is what he has requested, and he is perpetually a 10-year-old. Here is your 2% milk there, Cody.
Because there's a whole milk universe in Doctor Strange.
Boo, don't bring up a bad multiverse to a good multiverse. Don't remind us.
Dallas, here is your scotch. It is heavy on the rye. And
rye.
Is that not? Yeah, I'm going to go with it. And Alex, there you go.
What is it?
Who knows? Okay.
He took it off of another table.
That's like three in a row that Tom has given
me. There is an infinite number of things that it could be. So, spoilers for this book.
Let's go back to the synopsis with spoilers, though.
It was Jason all along.
Kind of. So, Jason's a teacher and really good physicist, living a normal life with his wife and his son. He goes to a party to celebrate his friend who has just made it big as a physicist, got a grant of like $2 million. He's going out to the bar to have a drink with an old buddy, but they've fallen apart since now Jason's just a ho-hum professor. And meanwhile, he's kind of living vicariously through his friend. On his way home, he essentially gets mugged, thrown in the back of a car, or in the front of a car, actually, made to drive. Stripped down naked, take all of his clothes off, walk into a warehouse in the middle of winter, and enter a box. And once he gets into the box,
what's in the box?
Well, it turns out it's still Chicago on the other side of the box. And he wakes up in an alternate reality where he is this prize winning physicist who has figured out something. And at this point, we are just as confused as he is. He's surrounded by people who clearly know him, care about him, but they're strapping him to a gurney to make sure he's okay. He's locked in a room and he has no earthly idea what's going on.
He is not the person that they think that he is. And Cody, you had mentioned that you felt like this was made for a film. It very much has a definitive Act One, Act Two, Act Three, and that's how I broke it down in my mind for this review. Is the first one is into the box, Act Two is inside the box, and then Act Three is out of the box.
That is now a what is way the, to put that?
Yeah, what is this box? Well, I feel like this whole book was a thriller novel that was written on the principle of Schrodinger's cat.
No, thankfully, it wasn't written by J.J. Abrams, who loves mystery boxes and never answers it, because that would have been a whole different book.
They fly now.
Episode 9. Mystery box.
If you have not watched The Big Bang Theory, which they reference it on multiple occasions, the theory of Schrodinger's cat, it was a thought experiment where if you seal a cat in a box with something that will eventually kill the cat, you will not know if the cat is alive or dead until you open the box. So until you open the box and observe the cat, then in the theory of quantum mechanics and quantum physics, there is two parallel possibilities existing inside that box until it is observed.
Which isn't true, because I tried that and you smell the cat before you ever open that box back up.
Now, Schrodinger absolutely loved reading the opening line of A Tale of Two Cities. He was like, oh, hell yes.
It was the best of times.
No, don't open the book. Don't look.
Simultaneously.
Oh, no. I looked. Now it's only the worst of times.
So the loose science around this was that Jason Dessen literally built the box that eliminates all perception of reality, thus opening the door to infinite realities. And he was abducted by himself in a reality where he regretted his decision to pursue it and wanted the life that he wanted to search out, a life that he currently did not have.
He found that the success was ultimately not fulfilling and he wasn't happy. And so he would go and try and find the Jason that was living the life that he did want.
Yeah. And I think they said that he was gone for 14 months. Like went into the box.
So, yeah.
And he was gone for 14 months. They thought he was gone, and then suddenly he appeared again. Mm-hmm. And so this is a Alex, I'm curious, to where do you think it needed more meat
in all three acts? The problem is that we get a glimpse of this Jason. We never really do get to see that this Jason in this, let's call him Jason Prime, the actual protagonist of our story, Jason Prime, is we only get to be with him for a chapter. They're making pasta. It's just kind of a regular night. His wife drinks wine. His son is doing homework. I mean, it's just life as is. We don't really get to see enough of his what if, that longing for the alternate. You know, all of these Jasons are having the same feelings of questioning the what if. We get to see glimpses of it, and it is a very compact, very concise way of doing that. Send him to the bar with the successful guy, send him home, make him pick up ice cream and do chores on the way home. I mean, this is menial, but maybe see what it's like at his job. Maybe have him interact with his students. Maybe, you know, car payments, or, you know, like the random things that, and I don't think it's quite fair to compare him to either Michael Crichton or Stephen King, because I think that's in the camp that he kind of falls into of, like, as a writer for Blake. But Stephen King would spend months with a character developing the world. And at first as a reader, if you go in expecting the 90s action where they're just bonking you over the head with, here's what's happening, here it is, here it's happening, like, it'll catch you by surprise, because you're like, oh, I'm in a sleepy town with this sheriff. He's kind of just, you know, making his rounds. He's meeting the people. Like, that's how Stephen King writes. And then he cuts to another story and you're like, whoa, what happened to my small town sheriff? Now there's kids with magic powers, you know, like, that is, it's a very, you know, thought out, methodical, slow building paced, but not to the point that you're falling asleep. I think this was the inverse, where it was like, Jason has a ho-hum life. Oh no, he's abducted. Boom, into the box. And it was just kind of like, I didn't get enough of his life beforehand to make him fully appreciate why he would want to go back.
Interesting. So I had perceived it as he was not one who had completely reached the point where he was unhappy. There was always something just, it took the experience of it being taken away for him to, it's almost like his perception of it kind of split, where he started to have flashbacks of the moments where he was not, maybe not grateful enough, or maybe felt like I should have done X, Y, or Z differently, while simultaneously getting glimpses of other realities where it did go different.
See, wouldn't an extra 20 pages really help right there to really solidify how he's feeling, why he feels that way? Just an extra 20 pages before the abduction.
I would agree to a point, but it didn't bother me too much because it was the hook. And maybe I'm just drawn to like fierce acts of loyalty and fierce acts of commitment. And the fact that he literally traversed all of infinity to get home was enough for me to show his commitment, to his wife, his wife and son.
But it wasn't earned. It wasn't earned up until that point. That's where I go, okay, like I get it. You told me, but you did. You just told me that that's how he feels. Like, he didn't build that.
He did a very good job at like inferring a lot of things after the fact, even if he didn't necessarily do the best job setting it up in Act One. He's written as one of those characters where you read a lot of yourself into him.
Yeah.
Kind of bland, kind of, you know, kind of like generic everyman, all American, you know, suburbanite.
You're a physics professor who could have won a $2 million. I disagree with that. Like, and I know, William, you put yourself in the shoes as a parent.
That version. I'm saying is that version of Jason, the suburban everyman.
Did you walk away from a $2 million grant?
I think it's just the, like, we all think of the what could have been.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we've all probably had moments of regrets that we wish we could have done that.
That's the whole point of the story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there was an instance where I could have gone to, like, literally work in the Canadian Parliament in college, and I really wish I had taken that chance. So I kind of look back going, what if? And so that's relatable. Maybe not the circumstances of losing a $2 million grant is relatable, but Jason in this reality was portrayed as sort of like the everyman suburban dad who just happened to be a physics professor.
Yeah. I don't think that there was necessarily that needed to be established, because that wasn't even established in his own psyche at that moment anyway. Like, he was, yes, things were mundane, but I did not get the perception that he was wallowing in what could have been at the beginning until he realized that there was a possibility to see it, there was a possibility to experience it, and then it makes him realize, number one, that I really had it the best out of an infinite possibility, like, out of infinite possibilities.
He does hit on that with Daniela, his wife, where they're kind of, in the very beginning, they talk about, oh, she walked away from her art career, and, oh, I walked away from this to become parents. And it is written in a very somber tone in the very first chapter, where he's just like, well, that's how life goes. You know, I lost out on this. Oh, I'm going to, oh, my buddy who just won the prize that I went after, you know, many years ago, that it could have been me. Are you sure you want to go have drinks with him? You should go have drinks with him. Like, it was a little on the nose. It didn't feel earned.
That's why I said I agree to a point. I would have much rather had the extra 150 pages setting that up, but it's at the level of nitpick, not anything that really detracted
nitpick, not
from me.
Deficit, for necessarily.
Me. We'll talk about nitpicks at another episode.
Okay, so he gets abducted. He swapped places with the hyperbole, the exacerbation of this, I should have done something different, that persona. The Jason that did pursue science, it was not fulfilled, so he wanted to switch by means of this Schrodinger's box. His friend Ryan developed the compound in this alternate universe that allow you to completely decouple your perception of reality. which opens the box to an infinite number of universes. He realizes this by reading his doppelganger's work and finds out that the project he was working toward, he succeeded, gathers the notes, gathers the necessary drugs in order to induce this. The entire facility is trying to stop them. They escape in the box from this universe.
Is him and another lab assistant.
Amanda, I believe, the therapist.
Therapist, yeah.
She realizes that this is not... She realizes that this is not evil Jason. She realizes that Prime Jason is another Jason here. And I am going to call him Evil Jason because we do learn that his plans are more nefarious. He wants to become, you know, the happy Jason.
He just wants to be happy.
Prime Jason and Amanda, the therapist, who's...
Amanda Lucas, yep.
They take a bunch of this serum, go into the box... And by using the serum, you're able to start seeing infinite rows of doors, but it will wear off eventually once you exit the box into another alternate reality. And they are starting to try and figure out what are the rules to navigate. If there are infinite doors, how do you steer this thing? You know?
Yeah. Essentially, when you perceive the cat, when you open the door and you perceive that reality, it solidifies. The box collapses, and that is your one option.
It's the world. It's the magician's nephew world between worlds. Like, how do you navigate a world of infinite possibilities and infinite pools and leave your mark to make sure that you don't get lost in infinity?
Yeah.
Yes. And so they start exploring these other versions of Chicago, some that have experienced global catastrophes, some that have, you know, plagues, some that are... decent, but not real.
There was the Last of Us universe.
Yeah. So the two of them have come to this realization that their emotions are what dictate and their deepest desires. I mean, it's the mirror of Erised, William. There's your Harry Potter reference.
Playing the long game here.
What they most desire is what they will get, but they've also come to the unfortunate realization that they're in the box together, and what they may desire is not necessarily what the other person desires, and that's kind of skewing the results for each of them. They go to a universe that's moderately decent. They kind of spend the night, nothing romantic, but they realize they have to go their own ways, and it is a touching moment where now Jason, Prime Jason, is on his own. And Amanda has gone off to find a happier world where she currently does not exist, but her loved ones do. So this is where I'd also add another 30 pages right in this section, because the exploring of other alternate worlds is awesome.
It's such a fun premise, too. This is a book that I feel like each twist, I'm like, how can you top this twist? I'm like, oh, there's 80 pages left in this book. Like, what, how are you going to top this?
How are we going to wrap it up is the next question, you know?
Just thank God there wasn't a milk universe.
Or that we know of.
They did not visit it.
Yeah. Nobody was thinking about milk at the time. It just...
Turns on the TV, sees the Nesquik bunny, and he's like, you know what I could go for? Gets in the box, and everything's just chocolate powder. And he's like, no, my family! And then he coughs because he's inhaling the chocolate powder air, and it's just...
But Amanda does end up leaving because...
That's where Thanos does this.
Is Nesquik powder?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark. I feel like I drink too much milk. I'm lactose intolerant.
I'm going to take that little clip and just amplify it.
That should be our transition.
Right? No, but Amanda left him because every time they went into a universe where, you know, nothing was on fire, nothing was freezing, there was no high amounts of radiation anywhere, he would leave and try and go find Daniela. and he wasn't exactly the best at saying, hey, I'm going to be doing this. And she had to part ways with him. And that's when he became on his own. And then he finally ended up cracking the code on how to get home. And he did. So we've gone into the box. We've explored the universes in the box. And this is where I think it gets...
This is where it gets bonkers.
This is where it gets bonkers. And you had a little bit of foreshadowing in the hallway of the box where a version of him has essentially had a psychotic break and comes like walking down the hallway of the box. And that's the first like, oh, wait a minute. This feels like they were dropped into this void. How are other versions of him getting into the void? When he finally gets home, he realizes that every time they opened Schrodinger's box and he observed a reality, every possible decision, every possible alternate timeline inside of said reality spawned a new version, an identical version of Jason, who is trying to get back to the same Daniela. And when he gets home, he comes to find out that there, who I mean, there's, whenever he got in the warehouse at the end, hundreds
of other Jasons. So Jason Prime has gotten back to the Prime timeline, where evil Jason is currently living with his with Prime Daniela, and she's very confused because he's more affectionate. He's a little more exciting in bed. They're going on fancy dates. That he's more intentional. He's enjoying his job more. All the things that it's like Jason on his best day for every area of his life. And his family's a little confused, but they like it. But meanwhile, Prime Jason is back, and now all of these other Jasons from infinite other universes who all are Prime Jason, spawned from other universes, have now all infinitely made their way back to the Prime timeline. And an all-out war of Jason v. Jason v. Jason v. Jason v. Jason versus Jason
v. Freddy.
Yep. You knew where that was going.
I was waiting for it.
They all realize that there is an infinite number of them and a singular Prime Daniela.
Mm-hmm.
And who gets her?
This is where it really began to give me a couple new wrinkles on the brain, because they are all you want to root for the protagonist that the story is following, but then you realize
there's
an infinite number of them, and they all have that same like intrinsic deep down, I know that I am Prime Jason and that I deserve my family. And that's it all comes to a head in the warehouse where the box is.
Prime Jason has concocted a plan on through texting to get Prime Daniela away. They go to a cabin. All of the infinite Jasons, who are infinite variants of Prime Jason, are chasing after him along with evil Jason.
Yeah.
And they head back to the original warehouse where the box is. And a massive showdown for the multiverse of Jasons occurs.
And when they get into the box, there would be if he picked the destination, there would be a possibility that one of the other Jasons would be able to get to the same reality. But they get in the box and they let Charlie pick. And that's where it drops. It's kind of like a brave new world on the precipice of yet another adventure, and then that's where the story ends. And that was the only time where I felt like, oh, but I mean, I guess they did get away and there's no way that they can find it, but
So I, you know, throughout think another 200 pages would have helped. Another 20 pages in the front end, giving us more insight into his life. Another 20 pages into the first couple jumps, specifically of him and Amanda, just trying to figure out the rules, because he blows through that very quickly. Maybe another 20 or so pages while Jason is back, and maybe even a 20-page cut to Prime Jason number 743, who has just woken up in the freezing cold universe. You know, like, those are the moments that it's, you could bring in and could flesh out the story moment, like give more vignettes into the story, because I think the premise is a 10. The execution was that 7.8. Mm-hmm. And that's the disconnect.
Well, it feels like they, because like if you have a book or books that were written solely for the purpose of being a book, people get upset when you have to cut stuff out to make it fit TV. And I feel like this was cut lean, so that way TV is going to add to it. It's not going to take anything away. We can get those.
Well, and remember, by the time he wrote this, he already had a show that was being produced for TV.
Yeah.
And it feels like he was like, I just wrote the screenplay, and it makes for a good movie. For a book, I want more.
Right, yeah.
So here's where I'm going to sing Blake Crouch's praises, and I'll be done. I promise. Because I feel like I've sounded negative, when in reality, it's me just going, oh, I love it, Blake. Give me more. Like, you're writing so little. I just read Upgrade by Blake Crouch, which I can't spoil, because this may become my book club pick for the next round.
Okay.
But Upgrade did all of those little things better. They were upgraded, you might say. But where you start out with, I mean, he has a lot of the same technique of starting with a very meek, mild-mannered what-if protagonist, building them up, having life go on, but he fleshed out the world more, and I was like, this is what I wanted. When you look at the pacing, when you look at the vignettes, when you look at those moments of the premise being played out, Upgrade is a 9.7 in my mind, at least.
Wow.
And that is the spoiler that I will give. So I don't think that Blake Crouch is a bad writer. I think he just didn't give us enough here to earn the premise that he has a great premise, and he just didn't give it, you know, I don't know if he was scared or just writing for TV or what. So that being said, I love Blake Crouch. Just wanted more.
I want to circle back to when William talked about how he liked how Charlie picked. I liked how Daniela picked Jason.
Yes.
She picked Ryan. That Jason as the one. Because too often in these stories where the male treats the female as the MacGuffin of the story, which is what she is in the story, is I'm trying to get home to my wife and child.
Yeah.
He flips that on his head, and Daniela is the one that says, I'm the one who's picking Prime Jason. We're not going to have, you know, a Hamilton duel for my hand like it's the 1700s. Yeah. So I really appreciated that Daniela was the one that kind of put an end to which Jason is going to get Prime.
Oh,
Prime
and
Daniela.
I think there's some symbolism there, too, because when he's in another universe, he meets a version of Daniela where they had broken apart much earlier in life. Mm. She had become a successful artist. He had gone on to something else, and he shows up, and they have a spark because, yes, they are Jason and Daniela, but it's like the spark wasn't the same, you know? And he talks about it because that's not his Daniela. And in the same way, there may be an infinite, very number of Jason Primes who have now been spawned, but it wasn't Prime Jason, and that is who Daniela picks, the original. And I think there's something about that it's like the choices we make us who we are here, that makes us authentic. And so the what if versions are facsimile.
Mm-hmm. It's like it's the choices that define who
yes.
we are.
It was very much like the Odyssey. Like, there's horrifying places that he goes to. There are places that are very tempting to stay, but he needs to get home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the hook for the book for me So there was an episode of Deep Space Nine that I watched where the chief engineer, who is like the stand-in Irish character that they bring in, Chief Miles O'Brien. It's a common trope in that show called Watch the Irish Man Suffer. They like to put that guy in the ringer. But his wife in one episode literally gets possessed by that universe's version of the devil.
Wow.
First the old potato famine, now me wife. Oh no. What's next, me lucky charms? This is ridiculous.
And there was just a moment whenever it all got resolved at the end of the episode, and she says, you know, the one good thing about that experience, she was conscious throughout, was that I knew how much you fought for me.
Aww.
And I feel like Daniela knew that.
Yeah.
And that level of fight and that level of loyalty was the thing that hooked me into the show, into the book.
Also, I felt like, Alex, I say this with love.
Please.
With love.
Ooh.
With love. Love being the force that transcends dimensions and realities. I bought it more in this book than I did in Interstellar.
Boo, hiss, no. I disagree on that one. That's okay. I take your critique and the way that it was intended in the same way that you take mine.
Well, especially with the mechanism of how realities were picked, that it was his love for his wife, not any other versions of his wife, that coalesced Schrodinger's box into one door that led to his reality. Like, I bought that more. And
no,
I will say this. This was, I'd said when I first read this book, I was in a different stage of life versus where I am now. We all do fall victim to the what if, to the if I had made this decision, where would my life have ended up? And Kristen and I have realized that in our relationship, we are where we are now. We have the things that we have now because of opportunities that failed.
Mm.
And where we wished our life would have gone one direction and it didn't, and that has opened the door for where we are now. I wanted to go to Georgetown College, and I needed a certain score on my ACT to get into that school, and I missed it by a point. She wanted to go to Marshall University. She needed a certain score to get into that college. She missed it by a point. So Morehead State was our plan B. And we get to Morehead State. She said, I took AP Calculus in college and I didn't have my score back yet. And so the biology advisor said, why don't you go ahead and sign up for it? I signed up for it because I went to a school where I got 100 on the AP test and I got a 2 on the exam because, well, that was my high school. So I go into calculus that I couldn't understand the professor. So I transferred, and because she didn't have her score yet and signed up for calculus, and I couldn't understand my professor. So I switched into her. We met. We would not have been considered as possible parents for Genevieve had we not had a miscarriage. And it's just,
I am envious of your ability to read yourself or watch yourself into other protagonists, because I don't have that. I do not have that skill. Allie has that skill. She's very good at being able to just drop herself into that other person. I don't.
I do. When I read a book, regardless of how they're described, when I am mentally picturing the book from if it is especially a first person point of view, it's me.
Dark hair, glasses, green eyes, and scars. Just
long game. Playing the long game.
So, and I'm saying this with as much love as possible. Mm-hmm. I think that because you have that skill set to read yourself into a character in that first chapter where I felt it was rushed, you immediately saw yourself. You thought, I'm Jason. I'm a dad. I have what ifs. Mm-hmm. Whereas I went, okay, he's Jason. He's a dad. He has what ifs. You see where, and so mm-hmm. I said, okay, tell me more about him, because I didn't immediately go, oh, I can interpolate those feelings, because I wasn't him. I am mm-hmm. I am the fly on the wall watching Jason, hearing Jason's monologue.
But that's like, you know, there's a reason why a lot of heroes are in many ways blank slates. they're Blank Slate's characters or they're everyman's. It's so that we have that ability, we have that hook to be able to read ourselves into.
Listen, does this mean I need to go see a therapist? Maybe, but I don't have that ability. I go, tell me more about your character because I am me.
What I'm saying is a lot of authors design it that way so that the vast majority of the audience is able to read themselves into.
And so that's
when you play Fallout 4, do you design the character to look like you?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
So what is your
shtick? Their character.
But it starts out as like you decide. Like it gives you no direction on how to.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It told me I was like when I played that game, it said that you're a dad who lost their son. So I go, oh, I got to go find my son, Sean, clearly.
No, I mean, like, even, like, down to, like, what your character looks like.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. Normally, I just slept.
Okay. So you don't spend any time.
No, not at all.
It
drove me absolutely up the wall because Allie spent an hour on the character creation in Fallout 4. And I said, the story is out there. And she said, but I'm making it look like me. And I don't get it. I don't. Even in Hogwarts, I was like, boop, boop, boop. Okay, close enough. Bye. And then I gave up after like 6 hours in there because I was like, oh, it's.
Whereas I picked Luigi because it was the closest I could get. And when I was a kid, it was the closest I could get to a blue Mario character. And then I realized I picked the underappreciated little brother that gets overshadowed by his more famous bigger brother.
The best, I think, description that someone has issued of me recently, and I could hear your amen whenever I conveyed this to you all, both through the group chat and from North Carolina whenever I said this, was that I am aggravatingly optimistic. And I understand I am optimistic, and I know that it can be to the point where it can be frustrating to other people.
Thankfully, this isn't that case. I don't think you were painfully optimistic. I think you read yourself into this character very easily, and I don't fault you for that at all. I had a hard time because I am not Jason. I am not a dad. I didn't get the buildup to make me care about Jason in the same way that you immediately got. I didn't have that. I don't know. Dallas, did you have a similar? Did you immediately just drop in and feel like, I'm a dad? I have what ifs. Did that hit you immediately?
It did. It did. But it shifted gears so fast to like him being in a car that like you kind of get drug out of that real fast.
Yeah.
And that's where like I would like some time to just kind of simmer on some spots. But also like I saw it more as he was going for like action thriller, not necessarily scientific. He's not going for the deep science and slow burn that Hail Mary was going for.
Martian,
he was going,
Project Hail Mary.
Like, well, yeah. Let me compare it to The Institute by Stephen King. Starts out, we are not even focused on our protagonists, the conventional protagonists of the book at all. We're dropped in. You read The Institute as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe at my recommendation.
Yes. I don't know why I said it like that. Yes.
But you drop into this town and you're just kind of like, whoa, whoa, what's happening here? But you care about that character now. And so when he becomes a more crucial part of the story throughout, now you care. I just didn't have that buildup for Jason. I wasn't ho-hum about
it. Well, I kind of wonder if that was on purpose because he gets yanked out of his reality so fast and kind of has that panic of what's going on that, like, we also don't get...
It transfers it to
that
the reader.
Either. Yeah, so we're like, what is going on? I didn't get any time with that. Well, kind of, and neither did he. Like, he didn't get to appreciate any of it either.
Yeah.
He got yanked.
I can see that. And if Blake Crouch ever listens to this, I don't want him feeling like I'm bagging on him at all. Like, I don't. Like, I loved Upgrade to an... Like, that would be... I even said in our group chat, I was like, this might be the book that rivals Project Hail Mary for me as, like, this is a darn near perfect book.
Right, yeah.
And that's high praise.
And I think, like, I like Stephen King's shtick of kind of he over-explains most of the time.
Yeah.
I did not like it in The Stand. I feel like he that was almost like two whole different books.
Well, that was on his cocaine binge, so, yeah.
I tried to read The Stand. That was the first Stephen King novel that I attempted, and it kind of... I mean, and his Twitter usage should be testament to that. It's like he likes to hear himself talk.
Yes. Yes, and maybe that's why I relate to him. Maybe that's why I get Stephen King. So I just read another book by Stephen King. There was a little set from the Hard Case Crime series, and they're basically supposed to be like pulpy, you know, hard-boiled detective books from the 60s, but written in modern times. And there's this book about, like, it's an adult in his 60s reminiscing about a time in his 20s when he was involved in some not criminal activity, but uncovering criminal activity at a theme park in North Carolina. And it just kind of meanders its way until about the last third of the book. And you're like, wow, because you spent all that time building these characters and I care about them. Like, it all came full circle. For some people, that is just wildly aggravating because you're like, get to the point. Right. This is the antithesis of that. And that's where I think Upgrade was the perfect blend, that Project Hail Mary tier that, yeah. You know, it's just...
To your credit, I would argue that I am... to this book, what teenage girls were to Twilight.
A
protagonist that you can immediately slot yourself into, and you're like, yeah, I'm tracking. I know exactly where you're at. Let's go. I read Twilight.
It didn't grab you? You couldn't put yourself in that one?
No, and there would be some of, especially my generation, that if I said, how would you rate Twilight? You're like, oh. A 10 out of 10. 11. Can we crank it to 11? Oh, Edward.
Well, and I get it. I fully get it. And that's why I'm not, I don't want it to sound like I'm knocking you in any way. And that's why I tried to preface this as lovingly and with the friendly familiarity that we have as possible. Yeah. Because I don't want anyone inferring that this is a knock against you or against the book. It's just the fact that I can't read that opening chapter without going, tell me more about this Jason character. Whereas you went, I am Jason. And that's just two different mindsets. Blake Crouch wrote something that just immediately clicked for you. And I love that.
Yeah.
I still gave it a 7.8. That is not like me going, oh, this was a bad book. It was just me going, I needed more of this book to love it. That's not bad.
I think it would be a cool twist that at the very end, he climbs out of a real cardboard box in that same warehouse, and he's naked, but he's also missing a kidney, and he got he got robbed by a guy that just gave him a lot of LSD.
He's like, am I at the Cleveland Clinic? Yeah. Is that Robin Williams? He
was just giving a lot of drugs, and the whole thing was he was trying to cope with the fact that he just got regular robbed.
Oh, so he made all this up. So this is the Rick Grimes wakes up in the hospital and it was all a dream.
Yeah, exactly. And when he comes out of the box, it's him trying to convince everybody that this really happened. But they're like, no, dude, you just got mugged by a crackhead that gave you LSD and took your kidney. And he's like, no, there's multiple realities and there's another Jason. They're like, there's not another Jason. You're just withdrawing.
There was a sequel to The Wizard of Oz that was very similar to that premise, actually, where Dorothy gets sent to a mental institution because they all don't believe her for her tales about Oz, and she is so insistent that it's real.
Oh, that's real dark.
This is a real movie.
Oh, wow.
And it's on Disney Plus.
What?
Oh. And it's called Community.
Now, I will be interested to see hear your opinions if you visit the book that was in between the two, Recursion.
I haven't done it yet. I need
to. Which is also very good. I don't know that I would recommend it as... it is good. It is good. And it's another one of those like trippy science premises where you're like, I can suspend disbelief and believe that this is a thing.
Sure.
So that one was interesting, but I think we'll probably wrap it here. I think the big consensus of everyone's opinion all across the board was liked it.
Yes.
Wish there was absolutely. More.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think there is a preference of book that is not either correct or incorrect for each person where
you
can be comfortable with being uncomfortable of not knowing things being dropped into a story, or you can prefer to have a world built around the beginning that is so concrete that the foundation is firm for whatever structure the book builds.
Yeah.
After that. And I think that's an okay one too. Cody, you remember Pilgrim at Tinker Crank, and I think you've talked about that one before. It is nothing but world building. There's no story.
It's his favorite.
It's just let's just sit in this world.
That and Friedrich Nietzsche are the only two books I've ever contemplated burning.
That one was with like I realized what Pilgrim at Tinker Creek is. It was way ahead of its time. It was simply a nature 360 experience for VR, but in book form. It's one of those, like,
you just ruined any chance for me to buy the Apple Vision Pro. You just destroyed it. That will forever be affiliated in my mind. That and the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin is another book I loathe.
The Catcher in the Rye for me. Catcher in the Rye, I said, you know what? I am anti-banning books, but this one in particular, maybe they were right. This was just dumb. Maybe.
Jeez. Before that descends any further, guys, I think I'm gonna call it a night. I'll pick up the tab on this one. Thank you for talking my book pick here.
Yeah.
After however many years since we started the book.
Wait a second. Tom, this isn't right. There's an infinite number of drinks on here. How are we supposed to... Maybe we just need to add it to the next set of Alex, William, Cody, and Dallas's that walk in.
Yeah.
Should we let them pick it up? Yeah, we'll let them pick it up.
Perfect. Well, if you have made it this far, this round is also on us. Thank you for joining us for the final installment of our first round of book club. We would love to hear from you, interact with you. We've got a Facebook group called The Pub, which Cody likes to stir the pot in there quite frequently, and it is very fun to watch. If you are also interested in helping to support the show, join us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/doctor and lawyer. We have recently revamped some of the tiers. There's going to be some fleshed out bigger goodie boxes that are going to go out twice a year, and we have some special Patreon exclusive shows that are coming this fall that I am super excited about. So all of our social links will be down in the show notes. But with that, guys, I'm going to head out of here. I'm William.
I'm Dallas.
I'm Cody Prime.
And I'm Alex. And I'm Alex. And I'm Alex. And I'm Alex.
There can only be one.
Alex. Shut up, Alex. No one wants to hear you say this again. And I'm Alex. Alex, that wasn't very nice to Alex. Alex, please be quiet.
I'm getting flashback to myself.
Alex. I'm evil Alex.
We'll see you guys.
And I want Alex Prime's life. And I'm Alex. And I'm William, but in Alex's body. And I'm William. In William's body, but I'm Alex.
I ain't gonna unpack that one. Okay, bye.
Are you kidding? I'm working.
All right, I'll be right there.
And grab the movie! Go! 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 Go!
Goodbye, my love. Goodbye, my friend.
One snapped in two, which was sad.
Hi, welcome to this week's meeting of I got sucked into a wormhole where I'm now in an alternate dimension and my body's doppelganger is living my life. My name's Alex. Let's go around the table. You are?
I am Alex. Going to put the longest series of duck quacks over everything that you just said, because we start with a spoiler-free review of the book, and then we move to spoilers.
This is the new outro. That's the stinger at the end. Whoops. Oh, dear.